Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes every week by email. This week's feature article is about why I think that the current expansion is going to be longer and stronger than the last one. And I've got lots of evidence there. And, of course, as you know, if I say it, it must be right. Peter Meyer is a guy who questions that sometimes, but we still have him on the show. He's a principal of the Meyer Group, which is a consulting firm that helps companies put their best foot forward when in the marketplace. He's the author of a couple of outstanding books, which are two of my favorite, Warp Speed Growth, and his newest one's called Creating and Dominating New Markets. Peter Meyer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. And Peter, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is something that I really like talking about, and that's creativity. Mm-hmm. You've got that on your mind today, haven't you?
Yes, I do. Most days, as a matter of fact. It seems like it's an important part, not just of business, but of our ability to have fun with business.
Well,
go ahead.
To me, creativity is a very undervalued element in small business. I mean, I know that a lot of us are pretty creative in the ways that we do things, and I'm not saying that we're not creative. I'm just saying I don't think we attribute the gravity, the value to it as much as we should. What do you think?
I think it's one of those things that we tend to do outside of business, forget how valuable it is inside business and what the benefits are to the company when we start thinking more creatively.
Now, I think it's interesting that you used the word fun a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling us that being in business is supposed to be fun, too?
Just like you say over and over again, if it needs to be fun. And I think that it's good for business when it's fun, and let me explain why. When you go and buy something, you prefer to buy from somebody who's gloomy or somebody who's having a good time.
Right. I like those gloomy guys, don't you?
I almost never buy from them.
Yeah. They just drain the energy right out of you, don't they?
Yeah. You don't feel comfortable buying from somebody who is not having fun. But somebody who's having fun doing their job, who's really enjoying it, you're more likely to buy from them. Well, if that's the case, then why wouldn't we want to be that somebody when we're running a business? Why wouldn't we want our frontline sales and service people to be having fun?
It's amazing to me, Peter, the people who run businesses who seem as if there's no joy in their life at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some of these people, I know them enough to know that there's nothing unjoyful really in their life. I know that their families are healthy, they're doing okay, their business is fine. You know, there's nothing that, you know, some people who are unjoyful, You know, when you know a little bit more about them, you realize that they've got some problems. There's some things going on in their lives that anybody would be that way about. So you give them a little slack, but then you got these people who there's really no reason for them to not be able to have fun and to be joyful and to be creative in their businesses. And I don't understand that. Can you explain it?
I think it's a sense that we have about business that it's supposed to be serious and work. And it's supposed to be hard. And I don't know how we wound up with that sense about our businesses, but it really doesn't need to be that way. And as a matter of fact, like I said, when we buy, we prefer not to buy from people who are that way. There's a company out here that sells groceries, Safeway. They're around a lot of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they did for a while, and they still do, is they asked their employees to smile at their customers.
Now, imagine that. What a novel idea.
Yeah. A bit of a reaction to that, the customers just weren't used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
they wondered what they were up to, didn't they?
Well, and there were some question about if women were smiling at men, whether that was meant to. Men
oh, yeah.
Once we got past that discussion.
The political correctness part. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Once we got past that discussion and people wondering what it was about, people started to like it, both the employees and the customers. Now, Safeway thinks it helps them sell more groceries. Now, Safeway works on a very small margin, as you know. Anything above 1% margin is a good deal for a grocery store.
Right.
So for them to want to find ways to increase margin is an important thing. And smiling, of all things, employees having a sense of fun about them and enjoyment about them helps increase their revenues. And it's a nice deal for Safeway. It doesn't mean it can't be a nice deal for any of our businesses.
Whenever I hire an employee, one of the things I tell them is, I hope you're planning on having fun while you work here, because if you're not, let's forget about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they
agree.
Sometimes they look at me like, have you just beamed down from Mars or something?
Yeah.
And then we have to deal with that. Sometimes we have to detox them from a previous job. Stand by. We got to take a quick break. It's 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Peter Meyer. We're going to talk about creativity and having more fun. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we've got Russell Brown. We've got an entrepreneur that I want you to meet. Valerie Martelli is an entrepreneur extraordinaire. Ladies and gentlemen, her story will inspire you. She started her vision for her business that she has now that's very successful, and it was recognized as one of the best in the country by the SBA. She started that business while she was on welfare. I want you to meet her. Let's come up in our show straight ahead. And then we'll have Rosalind Glickman, who's going to talk to us about optimal thinking. Peter, what about that? An entrepreneur who started her vision for her business while she was on welfare. That's an inspiring story, isn't it?
It is an inspiring story. And implies, of course, I don't know one, but it implies that she was working from a creative basis.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that really is an interesting question. We wake up every morning, and our first thoughts tend to be either the to-do list or what we want to try and do for ourselves and our family. And we work out from that discussion. We find ourselves working from two different bases. One basis is what needs to get done and how I need to deal with the world. And the other is how I'm going to be creative. And if I start my day from the creative perspective, saying I am in a creative position now, then I'm more likely to move my business forward, to do something as creative as this woman has done that you'll be interviewing, or something as simple as make the business I'm in now a little bit better. That's an intentional decision we make every morning. Am I going to start from a creative position or from a being pushed around by the economy, the world, the environment position?
One of the things I wonder about, Peter, is, and I've talked about on the show before, and that's this transition that many of us have to make from entrepreneur to operator. You know, in the entrepreneurial days of our company, in the formative stages of our company, like this lady we were just talking about that's going to be on the show, we go through a period of time when so much is not known, and we're trying things, and we're trying to find our way, we're trying to establish ourselves, and so we're very creative. We take a lot of risks, and it's very exciting, and it's the entrepreneurial stage of the business. And then we find it. We find the thing that's going to work, and we say, okay, this is what we're good at. We like it. We can afford this. We can work with this, and we sort of establish ourselves with that product or that service or that model. And then a transition has to be made. There's a break point there, Peter, where we have to say, okay, I can't be as much. I've got to operate this company. I've got to sort of settle down and be more of an operator and be a little more fundamental and a little more pragmatic about what I'm doing because I know what I want to do now. And I think, Peter, that's where the creativity is in jeopardy of being lost at that break point. What do you think?
You know, we tend to think that way, but it doesn't need to be that way. Operations that do not need to be boring. Operations not need to be done the same way they've always been done in the past. They need to be done. The creative spark changes from I'm creating a whole new business to I'm creating a better way of doing this business. And if I take that same creative position first thing in the morning or during the day, then I can find a better way of running the business I did in the past, one that is more fun, costs less, and is better for my customers and employees.
One of the things
to stop creativity.
One of the things, folks, that I like about Peter's book, Creating and Dominating New Markets, is because you can't do what Peter recommends in his book if you can't be creative. Can you, Peter?
You can't, and by God, you can't do it if you're not having fun.
That's right. Well, you know, the thing is, back to the fun thing, that's what's so cool about being a small business owner. I get to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to define it if I want to. However I want to have fun. I mean, sometimes some of the things I have fun with, other people probably would say is boring. You know, I guess maybe I need to get a life, but I get to define what I think is fun, and I think that's pretty cool about being a small business owner.
We all get to do that. You know, I talk to a lot of small business owners when I do speeches and conferences and stuff, and I often ask how many of you are having fun. I often get a blank look back from a large part of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something that is a problem for the business. When you and your people aren't having fun in the business itself, then you're putting some customer sales at risk.
Well, and you know, exactly. And not only that, but you're putting your company at risk because, Peter, you and I have learned over the years that when people leave a company, most of the time, it's not because of money. It's because they're just not compelled to stay there as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't that been proven to be the case? In most cases, it's not. Somebody just offered them more money.
I think it's people will leave to get a challenge, or they'll stay to keep a challenge. If they can't find that, they'll go for money. But the challenge pulls the employees more often.
And so if you can help them to be creative, and certainly creativity brings on challenges, doesn't it?
Absolutely does. And I can give you some examples of that if you want.
Go ahead.
When we bring people into our business here, we run a consulting firm that is fairly small, only about 40 people involved. When we bring people in, we don't bring them in with a compensation package. We start with what would it take to keep you interested in your work day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And that rules out a whole bunch of people who would prefer the security of a large corporation.
Some people can't even internalize that question, can they?
No, but there's a whole lot of people who we find who are more motivated by doing a fantastically good job at what they do than they are by making a couple extra bucks an hour.
Peter, hold on to that thought. Peter Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, has been for a long time. He's the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets. It's a book that I recommend to you, as well as Warp Speed Growth, which I think is still an outstanding book. And when we come back, I'm going to get Peter to give us his website so you can go check out what he has to say. A lot of some free stuff there on the site as well. And it's Tintel. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer. Ladies and gentlemen, his last name is spelled M-E-Y-E-R, Peter Meyer. If you're Googling him or if you're typing his name into any of the online search engines, if you want to find out wherever, you know, if you want to look for his book, if you're asking for him in your local bookstore, that's how you spell his name. And his book that I've got in front of me is Creating and Dominating New Markets, which is a book that I think small business owners need to read because it will open your eyes about what you're capable of, what's possible for you in the marketplace, and you'll understand, you'll come to accept the fact that, you know what, if you don't like the way things are in your business, you can change it, you can fix it, you can improve it. You don't have to have the baggage of what I call the baggage of the 20th century, which was the century of the major corporation, which we were kind of excluded and minimized. You can become part of the 21st century, which is the century of the entrepreneur. And Peter, thank you for making giving us that perspective with your book.
Well, of course, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And tell us about your website, please.
Well, it's a good place to go to get bits and pieces of the book or to get articles on that subject and other subjects of interest to small business owners. Short stuff that you can pick up, read in a break, and say, there's an idea I can try.
All right.
And that website is at creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com. Check that out when you get a chance, and anything Peter has to say or anything he does is top shelf. Peter, let's wrap up the hour by talking about creativity. How do we How do we get creativity going in our business?
I think the answer is, how do we stop it? And too often we find ourselves creating blocks to stop creativity, if you pardon my misuse of those two words in that way. The basic concept is, we are creative. On a daily basis, we do creative things. However, we tend to segment creativity out of the business into our personal lives.
So you're saying that creativity is a natural thing that comes out of us, and if it doesn't happen, it's because we're repressing it.
It's a natural state to be creative.
Huh.
And that
very
is
interesting.
Well, look at kids.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw a young kid not be creative?
Yeah.
However, as time goes on, we tend to, for some reason, train creativity into a small part of our lives as opposed to training into the rest of our lives.
You're so right. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Kids look at things and they... I remember my children, one of my kids when they were little bitty said... looked at a new moon and said, or a little bitty, you know, I guess eighth moon or whatever it was, a little bitty sliver of a moon, and they said, "Look, the moon looks like a fingernail."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I never thought about it like that, but if we could look, so you're saying maybe we could look at things the way kids look at things?
Well, I'm not so sure. I need to look at the moon as a fingernail, but I think the idea that we can be creative. I mean, we go to courses that tell us to think outside the box to remind us of what it was that we always did.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that we should not have to go to a class to remind us of how we used to act. I don't think we need to think like children. I think we simply need to remember that we can be creative. It was fun to be creative. It's fun to be creative now.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever we're creative outside the business, we can start to bring them back into the business.
You know,
I know people who love to cook because it's a creative thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why should they take the creative to the kitchen instead of into the business? People mm-hmm. who love to paint in their spare time, write in their spare time, coach soccer in their spare time. These are creative things that happen in their spare time. Why not bring them back into the business?
I wonder, and I've wondered this many times before, and that is that if managers think that creativity, as you say, leads to fun, and if we have fun, it's... people won't respect me as a manager. They won't respect me if I try to have too much fun. Do you think that's part of it?
It could be. I don't know many managers who are like that. I think there's a sense that we expect executives and managers and owners to be very serious, but we don't buy that way.
Right.
We don't choose our own vendors that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we assume our customers would want to do that?
Mm-hmm. And why would we manage our employees that way?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When we were employees, did we enjoy working for sourpusses or enjoy working for people ahead of time?
Exactly. Well, and so now, folks, I think maybe it might be a good idea for us just each to sort of look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are we a creative? Have we allowed ourselves to be creative? Are we having fun? If our managers, if the people who work for us say, you know, if they were describing you, if they were writing your nomenclature, Would the word fun and creative, would those two words be in that nomenclature? Maybe that's a good exercise for us all to take. Peter Meyer, thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As always, it's our pleasure to have you here. Creating and Dominating New Markets, .com, by the way. Put a .com and find out more about Peter. See you later, Peter.
Thank you very much.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world. God bless you. God be with you. We're proud of you. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.